A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
Yeah, I'm stressed out, raw nerve. My body's anxious.
We already started talking about how we both had anxiety. And then as I was saying it, this random phone number was calling my phone from LA 5 times in a row. And I was like, oh, my parents are dead. I was like, that must be what it is. So I was like, I'm sorry, like, I have to stop recording this. This number won't stop calling my phone. And it was AAA because I don't know what they're doing. I'm going to LA tomorrow and my parents are doing something with my car. I don't know what it is. The car has been at their house. If there's a tow truck driver, there's an appointment at a Prius dealership. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. I'm going to get to LA tomorrow and I'm going to find out.
What do you think the car is dead and they're trying to fix it before you get there?
I don't know. I really have no idea why there would be a AAA. I'm just going to go ahead and do myself the favor of not worrying about this right now.
Yeah, that's what you don't need to worry about that. If you, if you have a car, you have a car. If you don't, you can find a car for the week in LA.
I do not know what happened to my car, but I, you know what?
And it's
who gives a shit?
What year is your car?
It's a 2020.
Oh, I didn't know you had a new car.
Yeah, I got the new Prius right before I left, or I got it like in the pandemic.
Oh, okay, wow.
It was that white one that nobody wanted because it's like, it was this like special white, like pearl color that they had for their anniversary, like Toyota's anniversary. And I think like nobody liked it. So the car's really cheap, but I liked it. And I was like, I'll buy this.
Oh,
so,
great. Yeah. What did I do? I went to watch tennis in Indian Wells this week. It was fun. Tennis tournament is still happening. I spent time with my friend was out there watching tennis too. And his 86-year-old lesbian aunt lives in Palm Springs. So this might be actually the root of some of my anxiety. We went out to dinner with him, the 86-year-old aunt, and her ex-wife / current roommate / caretaker.
Wow.
At like a, restaurant in a fancy hotel. And it's a lot of substitutions, a lot of asking for extra things. And I don't do well with confrontation or with like tension between customers and servers at restaurants. So I just
was there like tension when they asked for things?
There was a little bit of like, well, there goes her tip, like when she didn't bring enough hot sauce and stuff. And she was talking back too, which I would have done as well, of because oh god, the other thing is, and I don't think he listens to this podcast, the poor aunt, and she was, it seemed lovely, but she was in a walker and they kept being like, it's a fire hazard to put the walker like right by your table, so we have to put it on the other side of the thing. And so then they had me, she like wanted me to like secretly get the walker and bring it back, and so we did that like 3 times before they finally like just gave up and let her have the one.
I don't know. That's really interesting. I don't know where like that falls on the intersection of like fire safety and ADA, but it feels like, I mean, it feels like an uninteresting but complicated situation.
Yeah, I mean, this restaurant was not busy. Like, I think if there was someone sitting at our, like, the table next to us, it would have been probably a fire hazard and also just, like, annoying for the person that's sitting right there. But, like, there was no one sitting there. So I do think the waitress was being a little bitchy, just to be bitchy, because they were being
bitchy. Yeah, and I don't know, like, if she needs to stand up, like, I don't know, can they say, like, no, you can't have it next to you?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine, like, the Palm Springs restaurant community is probably pretty up on, like, Walker legality and etiquette.
Yes, I'm sure that's true. But I'm, like, obsessed. Before I deleted TikTok, which I did, and I do hope it gets banned, by the way.
Oh, me too. I mean, I don't use it, but I'm like, with the, yeah, the fucking...
I'm surprised, Brian. I thought you would be firmly in the camp of let freedom of TikTok ring.
No, I don't use it, and I think it's disgusting, and so I don't really care if China's spying on us or whatever, but just for the, I am an authoritarian, or I have authoritarian tendencies, so I think that they should ban all social media. Just a complete blackout, like Turkmenistan or something.
What about podcasts, though?
That's not social media. That's... Mm-hmm. I think that's different. That's like
regular media.
That's media, yeah. Audio media.
Well, before I deleted TikTok, I did sometimes go down these rabbit holes of people posting, like, getting unfairly kicked out of restaurants with their service dogs, like, not like emotional support animals, but like a genuine, like, service dog for a real issue, and like, you can't always tell, they don't always have like paperwork, and technically the law is that, like, they're not allowed, they don't have to provide any type of proof that that's what they're doing, and you have to just take their word for it and like let the animal in, but a lot of people don't know that and don't comply with it, and even like police don't know it. So there's always like these heated things, and I would watch it and get so mad. I was always on the side of the person who needed the service animal and always opposed to like the rude like restaurant employee or like whatever shop store manager or whatever it was who was like, get out. And then I was like, this is a huge waste of my time, and I can't do this anymore. But I did have, I have like an emotional response to it.
Yeah.
And now, and I mean, I do think that the ADA is really good.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, the ADA is great, necessary. I do think people abuse the service dog status.
I think you're thinking of the emotional support dog thing. But service dog is different. Like a service dog is a dog that like actually does something for you. And like they're like really highly trained in case you like have a seizure, yeah, or like some people have like severe allergies and they can like make sure that the food doesn't have it. Like they do all kinds of like weird stuff.
No, for sure. And when I worked at the cafe, there were a lot of people that I think pretend they didn't have any sort of paperwork, and the dogs were not in any sort of, you know how service dogs will have like a little vest on or whatever, you can usually tell when it's a real service
Brian, you need to educate yourself.
Okay, I think that, well, but I think some of these people were just wanting their dogs in the coffee shop and they didn't have any paperwork or any like,
but that's what I just said, they don't have to have it.
Like, so you're just taking their word for it?
Like, there is no official, like, card or paperwork or anything that, like, proves your dog is a service dog.
All right. Well, I mean, I think most of these people were lying about it being a service dog.
I'm sure they were, but, like, I'm sure that's true. But it's also true that, like, you still can't ask.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because our manager would, I think at first she would like ask for paperwork or something. And then maybe she got educated, because I think by the end it was everyone just sort of gave up and like dogs were just running rampant through the cafe.
Well, I mean, in LA, everyone brings their dog everywhere. I mean, most people do. Like, I feel like most people probably were lying about it. But it's also like, technically, the law is that if you have a service animal, you're not required to provide any type of paperwork. The dog doesn't have to be wearing like any type of like identification on them. And like, you don't have to tell the person who like runs the restaurant or store, like what your disability is or like what the dog is doing. Like, you really are just supposed to like take their word for it.
See, I think it should be like cars where you have to apply for a, you know, handicap. You have to, you should put the handicap placard around your dog's neck and then no one will ask questions.
I mean, I just kind of think that they should, because it seems like people, it seems like it would be better for the people who need the service animal, because like people don't know that. And then they end up getting like kicked out when they shouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's annoying to see like people who don't, it's just like, it's always like very annoying to see someone who is wrong and thinks they're right. And is like, doesn't know what they're talking about, but thinks that they do, like that's, and is like actively like, and is acting on that. Like, that's always like pisses me off so much.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the worst.
But I do feel like if there was some sort of like identification or something for them, it might be better. But then like, what, I guess then the problem is like, what if you need it and you don't have the identification for them, but you actually do need them, like you lose it or something, you like can't have the thing that you need. You know what I mean? It's like, it's supposed to be the same as like a walker or a wheelchair or something
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the only solution is like robot dogs or like some sort of AI that simulates animals, and then you wouldn't have to worry about.
Yeah. Or like just stay home. Everybody just stay home.
Everyone should just stay home. Open your windows, breathe in some fresh air. Ugh.
Yeah.
So did you do any fun cooking, any wellness things this week?
No, I didn't.
Just chopped cheese and Hungry Root.
I had, last night I had chicken fingers at a bar. The night before that, I had a quesadilla. I got this like aloo gobi thing from Hungry Root that was really disgusting. I ordered like a sweet potato like veggie bowl thing from them, and it came broken and open, and I had to get a refund for it. I'm really into, I'm still really into the Bear Bells. I'm still not able to find those crispy peanut butter Quest bars. And I really think that they like are gone. I don't know where they are. And I'm so sad about it. I have these like disgusting Clif Bar ones that are like really high in calories and they're not as good. And they're just like, make me depressed, but it's like the best substitute I could find. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I ate like shit when I was on the road. I was eating like, well, I was eating like stadium food the day that I was at fucking 25. Every food is $25 now at this stadium.
Yeah.
Hamburger, $25. Hot dog, $25. I got a vegan chicken. Actually, it was good. Like a vegan chicken sandwich or something, but it was $25.
That's a lot.
And then, yeah, I got back and I was like, I need to like really go, if not 100% plant-based, like what, like close to like 100% plant-based.
I feel like you and I are like always kind of on the same like wavelength about this. Cause I'm not going to go, I like just haven't, I mean, I ate chicken fingers last night, but like for the most part, I just like don't want meat right now.
Yeah, I had a revelation when I was eating this vegan chicken sandwich, and I was like, this is so good. If I spent, I don't know, it's like, it's annoying to, there's so many great like vegan takeout options around here, but as far as like cooking, like if you're cooking with like, you know, tempeh and seitan and stuff, it gets like really complicated. And then I would, you know, I cook for John. And so like, he would eat it, but like he wants like chicken and like regular meat and stuff. And so I don't know. But I opened the, cause I was like in like a, I needed like to self-soothe with like old fashioned bland hippie food.
Okay.
So I opened the
Moosewood. Why did you need to self-soothe?
I was stressed out. I don't need to get into it, but it was another health insurance fucking snafu that I needed to take care of. And it, you know, calling fucking HealthNet on the phone and all this stuff. As soon as I got back, I get this notification. Whatever, it's fine. I think it'll be fine. But it was just another thing that it like that type of stuff just like triggers me in a irrational way.
No, it's rational.
So I was like, well, I did take a, you know, 0.25 Xanax, which helped. And then I was like, I need to self-soothe with bland hippie food. So I opened the Moosewood cookbook and then I went to the store and bought all the ingredients to a little something called Gypsy Stew.
I saw that.
I did post the recipe, or I posted like the picture of the recipe on Instagram. Cause I had like Googled, cause I the Moosewood cookbook, I've cooked a few things out of. It's never like good. It's so bland. It's everything is so bland in that cookbook.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's like a time capsule. And that's why it's sort of fun to eat that way.
Yeah. It's like traveling through time.
Traveling to a place and a time where taste is not important and food is literally fuel. And you're sort of, it's like a political act of being like, this is how little I care about food. I'm going to eat this.
I don't even think that that's true. I don't think that's what that was. I think they didn't know any better.
You're right. They didn't. Because this thing is, I mean, I ended up, and I tried to do it as like true to the recipe as I could. I didn't want to Allison Roman it up. I didn't want to add like tons of like fresh herbs or like, you know, fermented hot sauce or whatever. So I was like, I'm just going to do the recipe. But I had, because it's just like a sweet potato, a green bell pepper, a can of chickpeas, a can of tomatoes. And then you don't even add broth. You just add water. And then you're cooking it for like a half hour. And then you add turmeric, cinnamon, and dried basil.
Honestly, that sounds disgusting.
I feel like
get rid of that green bell pepper. Just get it out of there. And then like that combination of seasonings is like paprika.
It's insane. And they call it, it's called Gypsy Stew. But then then she says it's like Spanish influenced, which I mean these people are,
I don't think it is.
No, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't know. It's the vegetables in this soup can be varied. Okay, so she says you can basically substitute any vegetables. Any orange vegetable can be combined with any green. So you could do, instead of the green bell pepper, you could do green beans. And then instead of the sweet potato, you could do carrots, pumpkin, or squash. And then she says, innovate! !
If you say so. I mean, yeah, I do think, I mean, I would just get rid of the green vegetable entirely. And then I think, okay, like cinnamon and like sweet potato or squash or whatever, and chickpeas, I'm with you. And then the basil is another one where I'm like, now I'm lost again.
It's very strange. I feel like back then dried herbs,
like you probably like the only dried herb they had.
Yeah, you probably didn't even have
oregano over the basil in that, probably.
I would put yeah, oregano, rosemary, thyme, literally anything. But I wanted to stay true to it. So I did actually go to, and I was like, to be really true to the recipe, you have to buy like the cheapest, oldest dried herbs in the store.
Yeah.
So I went to like Vaughn's and I got like, you know, McCormick dried basil. But what I did, I mean, I ended up adding more salt than usual or than it says. And then, but other than that, I really didn't change anything except at the end, because it was so bland. I had to just drizzle like nice olive oil and sea salt and then squeeze a little bit of lemon on top.
Okay.
And I doubled the cayenne. Did I do anything else to the spices? No, I didn't even use smoked paprika. I just used the like plain paprika. But yeah. Oh, and I doubled the garlic too. So, you know, but it tasted authentic. It tasted like 1970s. And, you know, to that effect, John had 3 bites and said he wasn't hungry. So.
Yeah. I mean, like that food is not good. It's famously bad. And that's what we love about it.
I do love it. So I'm like, I want to just like go through this cookbook, make all the weird casseroles and stuff. I don't know. Maybe that'll make me feel better. Just the font, the little stupid drawings, everything about it just makes me feel safe.
I understand. Well, yeah, I don't cook anything ever.
And well, you'll be in LA. Are your parents going to cook you something special that you like while you're here?
I highly doubt it. I'll probably go to a restaurant that I like.
Yeah.
But I don't know which one. I think I'm going to definitely try to go to Versailles. That's, I think, my favorite restaurant in LA. Versailles, of course, Musso and Frank, maybe In-N-Out, maybe El Coyote or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just the usual. Usual suspects. But I think Versailles is like the most underrated place.
I still have never been there. I need to go.
It's so good. And it hasn't changed. Like when I was a kid, I used to go and get like this barbecue chicken with white rice and black beans and plantains. And I've like tried, you know, as I've gotten older, I've like, you know, tried to get like a more authentic thing or whatever. And like, it's all good, but I just always go back to that. And it tastes exactly the same.
Sometimes you find a dish. Oh, and for people not in LA, Versailles, it sounds like it would be a French restaurant, but it's a Cuban restaurant.
It's a Cuban restaurant. It's a chain. There are like, I don't know how many of them there are. I think there are like at least 3, maybe 4. Okay.
But that's how I am with old fashioned Mexican restaurants. I will try to branch out, but I always just want 2-item combo, chile relleno, hard shell beef taco, rice and beans. That's what I want.
Me too. Always hard shell chicken taco and a cheese enchilada.
Yeah.
With rice and beans. Always. It's just the best. And it's like, what the hell? It's like, I know what it is at this point in my life.
There's not going to be any surprises. And no. So if you order like we went to Casita del Campo last week and I was like, I'm going to try to be
Casita del Campo.
I love it too. The food again is not great, but it's like, it gets the job done.
I think the food is really good.
It's good. Well, so I
miss that like, sampler platter thing they used to have that they got rid of.
I think it was because of us.
I know. I mean, I think they were like losing money.
It was like $25 and it was like an entire quesadilla, like tons of like all these taquitos.
Those weird things that were like little, like it was like individual nachos. It was like,
yes,
had the chip and then they put like cheese and it would be like, I don't know, like beans or meat or something was also on it. Oh my God. And then it had like sour cream and guacamole. It was like, it was heaven. It was the most heavenly thing. And I'd be blackout drunk on margaritas.
And you could order, it would be like, you go order one for a table of 4 and you're full. And then at one point I went there and I was like, where did the, you know, casita sampler, or they had something else that was called the casita sampler, but it was like way smaller. And he acted like I was crazy, that it like had never existed in the first place.
Well, I mean, I feel like people like literally like don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, did we dream the casita?
No, like I remember.
I mean, I've had it with many different people.
This time I was trying to be healthy, so I ordered like shrimp. It's like shrimp Diablo or something, and it's like shrimp in like a spicy salsa, and it was good, but it's not. I wanted my chili relleno and my hard shell beef taco.
Yeah, I need. I like you need. Some sort of like medication to like calm down. Like I am also stressed out.
Well, right before I got on this call, I was on a call with my doctor's office getting a little refill of a little drug called Xanax, because the last couple of weeks I've just been, it's like, you know, I go through phases. I just need it right now. I know I've been through this enough times to know when to cut myself off so I don't get addicted. And the strength he gives me, like the lowest, I mean, for like, it's baby. Like for babies. Yeah. So I'm fine.
Yeah. I just like, I don't know. I'm scared to get on the plane tomorrow. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, cause like the doors are falling off.
Yes.
I mean,
like it just feels like things are just so fucked up. I'm like, this whole world is all coming apart at the seams, and like I don't want to be in the air, but I'm sure I'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Everyone else does it.
Yeah.
Done it a million times.
Here's a fun transition to self-soothe.
Mm.
What Gwyneth Paltrow is doing. We talked about it a little bit because she had that guy on the podcast, but this week was when her new Eyes Open meditation app dropped.
Okay.
It is called Moments of Space. I just downloaded it. I have to cancel because you got a free 2 weeks, and then it's actually only $30 a year. So if I like it, maybe I won't even cancel.
Maybe I'll get it.
But
will it work by tomorrow?
I think so. Yeah. You just download it. And then I haven't had time because there's like a 7 minute like introductory video that you watch that I guess teaches you how to do it. And then it asks you like what your goals are. So the one that I had was like being less insane. Yeah, I forget what it was. But there's one like, you know, being more comfortable in your body or like deeper consciousness.
No.
And then mine was like, you know, anxiety. So I think they tailor it to like what you want. And then I still am doing my TM twice a day, and thank God for it, because if I wasn't doing it, I don't know where I'd be mentally. Mm. But I think I'd be curious to just augment to see what this eyes, because it sounds, when she talked about it on the podcast, it sounded so self-absorbed, because it basically sounded like it was just when she wanted to tune out of being in a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
She's just like staring blankly at them, but in her mind, she's like deep in her mind and not listening to them.
That is what it sounded like, yes.
So I'm curious if there's anything more to it than that, or like what? And I still don't really understand, because Gwyneth, I'm sure, has tried TM, like they all have. So like, what is it? I get a little defensive because I'm like a total evangelist for TM. I'm like, what does TM not give to you that you need to like make money off of this rival?
It's an interesting question.
She never talks. It's not like Kate, because Katy Perry will always talk about TM or whatever, but like Gwyneth.
Well, I guess she's not. I guess she doesn't like it.
Yeah, she doesn't. She must not like it. Maybe she didn't get the right mantra. Maybe her teacher didn't give her the right mantra.
Because people who like it, celebrities who like it, talk about it all the time, like Amy Sedaris and David Lynch.
Oh, I didn't know Amy Sedaris was a TM person.
I think she is. Yeah.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it to Gwyneth. $30 for a year is a lot cheaper than TM.
But it doesn't work as well, though.
I'm sure it doesn't.
I need her to give me a mantra.
I mean, she doesn't do Cameo. I would say, like,
I wish she did.
You could pay for a Cameo and then tell her to give you a mantra.
I don't think she would do it. I feel like she hates us. They don't talk to us anymore.
No.
I'll never get a
And I'll never get a mantra from Gwyneth now. Like, burn that bridge.
So she says, I relied on my eyes open meditation to connect to my highest self, to not lapse into reactivity, to try and keep my ego out of it. Especially when we feel something is not fair or unjust, someone's not living up to their end of the bargain or something, she gets reactive. So she uses her eyes open meditation in difficult conversations just to stay present. So yeah, she's just trying to tune out. If someone's talking to her, she doesn't like what she's hearing, she's just tuning out. I mean, maybe it helps.
Yeah. But maybe the person is saying something stressful.
I'm sure they are. If you're the head of a $100 million company, you probably have people barking at you all day of like what to do, what not to do. It would be stressful.
The voices in your head.
I get stressed out. I get more stressed out now than I ever have before. I don't know.
I don't. I get equally stressed. I'm just like, I've always been like so stressed out. I've always had anxiety.
Me too.
And the Wellbutrin was working for a while, and then I went off it. Now I'm going back on it. Now I feel like it's like either has to kick back in or stop working. Not sure. Mm.
For a while, the Wellbutrin was helping with stress.
It helps a lot. Yeah.
Fuck. Maybe I should. I like don't want to go on like another thing, but maybe I should go on it because the last I've been, it's getting progressively worse for me in the last couple of months. So I don't know.
It's interesting that since you started TM, your stress has gotten worse, but you're like,
I think the TM is helping. I swear to God, it's like,
but it's worse, but it's helping because it would have been even worse.
I think it would have been worse. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll go down. I know my cycles.
So. Okay.
But I also know the thing is I know my doctor. So if I ask him about Wellbutrin, he will not even have a second thought. He will just write me that script. Uh-huh. So it's like, I don't want to even bring it up because then I'm like, oh, that's another fucking thing I'll be like hooked on for the rest of my life.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe I should try it. I'll see. I have a physical coming up in a couple weeks so I can direct all my new questions towards him.
Perfect.
Anything else you want to talk about or shall we move on to the newsletters?
I don't think I have anything else. I think I'm ready to get into it. I have some adjacent things on my...
Sure, sure.
Not Dr. Jen adjacent, unfortunately. Oh,
I was when you said that, she posted... It's you know, more power to her. It was like the Winnipeg bestseller list.
Okay.
And she had all three of her books were like top five Winnipeg bestsellers.
Well, I'm sure they were. Jenna Jason did post something that I thought was really annoying, but I can't remember what it was, and now it's way too late. I'll never find it.
I guess because I'm not on Twitter, I don't hear from Jenna Jason anymore, but he's still bopping around.
He's still bopping around. Right, this was the thing that I thought was I found it in the middle of the Oscars ceremony, or maybe the next day, he tweeted at New York Times, where's your coverage of the unhinged post by Trump about the Oscars showing his lack of mental stability and unfitness for office? Space, space, space. We're waiting.
I was confused because Jimmy Kimmel read, I thought that was a joke that the Jimmy Kimmel writers wrote about what Trump would have posted. I didn't realize actually posted that.
He actually did post it, but it's like, who gives a shit? It's like, I must be crazy because I seem to remember that 4 or 5 or whatever it was years ago, the thing everyone was the most mad about was that everybody covered Donald Trump too much. Whenever he tweeted something, people talked about it. That's why he needed to be off Twitter. They needed to stop talking about him on CNN. They need to stop talking about him on the New York Times. Just like leave him alone. Whenever he does something crazy, you can't cover it because he does something crazy every single day. That is always been the story about Donald Trump. So Donald Trump posts something stupid on Truth Social, which he does every fucking day. And it's like, where's your coverage? It's like, and also like, what are they supposed to say about it? Like, you, what more could they say about it than what was said?
Yeah, because like, I don't get what these people want. Because I mean, the sad fact of the truth of the matter is Donald Trump has a very good chance of winning election again. And yeah, there's whether the New York Times covers him more or less, or I mean, it seems like they do cover him. But yeah, what are they supposed to be like, unhinged, like crazy person posts? Like, that's, it's not the fucking, you know, Weekly World News or whatever.
Yeah. And it's also like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing that we know. Like, it does. It's not the New York Times didn't get Donald Trump elected. He got himself elected because he understood how stupid the American population is. And he just manipulated everybody. Like, sorry, but that's basically it. Like, people like him. And the only reason that you would like him is because you're stupid. But people are stupid. That's it. That's that. It's not any more complicated than that.
Yeah.
I mean, also like hateful, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, really, I think at the end of the day, I really think stupidity is like the main reason.
Yeah. I mean, people have a lot of justifiable anger about the way our system works. And then, but then they, you know, redirect it in.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Really stupid ways.
It doesn't matter. There's no justifiable reason to, like, think Donald Trump should be the president. Like, there just isn't. Like, I don't care how angry you are. Like, I really, like, I truly don't give a shit. Like, if you're voting for Trump, like, you are not smart.
Oh, no.
I agree.
So we'll see. We have a long road to November. We'll see if both of them make it.
I mean, I think they both might die.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh God. I mean, well, Trump, I think, will live forever. He seems strong as an ox. I feel like Biden, a strong wind could blow him away. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I saw a picture of Trump recently. He must be on Ozempic. He looked like he lost a lot of weight.
Trump?
Yeah.
Ozempic? Now there's a story.
I mean, I think he is. Like,
I mean, I haven't really, I guess I haven't seen him in a minute.
I saw some, yeah, some picture of him. He looked, you know, deeply tan, but like skinnier than I remember. I try to tune everything out, which I don't know if that's, you know, a good thing or a bad thing, but I've never been less informed about politics in my whole adult life than I am now.
There's nothing to be, it's nothing has changed. It's the same. You know exactly what's going on. What's to be informed about?
I don't know. People were like, the very elderly women I was having dinner with the other night, they are huge MSNBC fans. So they were talking about all the different hosts, and then they were talking about the different lawyers that are going after Trump, and they knew all of their names and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, I really have not been paying attention.
I mean, you can't go down this road. I mean, it's like, we've all been down that road before. Yeah. We've all done the Mueller she wrote. We've all done it all. And it's like, there's no
salvation in obsession.
It's a waste of time.
Yes.
It's just like, either people will vote for him or they won't. And it's like, if they do, we're fucked. And if they don't, we might be fucked anyway, but just like a little bit less.
Amen. All right. What was your best of the week?
Oh, my best of the week was, as we were discussing, it was the article, How to Break Free from Chronic Stress.
Hallelujah.
So there's a doctor.
I'm DMD. Not sure. What's a DMD?
Not sure. A DMD. No clue. MD usually means something, but DMD, I don't know. But whatever they are a health professional and an author. Her latest book, Heal Your Nervous System, The 5-Stage Plan to Reverse Nervous System Dysregulation, is out now.
Oh, and interesting. DMD is a dentist. So.
Okay. Well, I did not see that coming, but whatever. Okay. So this dentist...
Has
an idea that for like, remember when remember during the Iraq war, not everyone will, but there used to be a thing that was like terror level, and there would be like red, yellow, and like you wanted to be, we were never at yellow. We were like on the best days, it was like terror level orange. Yeah. That
you
was
might
kind
be
of
a millennial if you remember. Terror level.
If you're a geriatric millennial or older, you will remember. If you are a young millennial, Zillennial, or Gen Z, you won't.
We were always orange. We were never yellow. And I don't, did we ever get to red? Maybe the
anthrax? Yeah, I think we were red all the time. I think red was standard. I mean, it would be you're red, you're orange, but we were never yellow. We were certainly never green. I think green was like the bottom, like free of terror.
Green is like before human civilization. It's like
it was like the land of the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So you kind of make like a George W. Bush terror meter for your own personal mental health. And you just are like, so you can be blue, which is like, that's good. Green, just like with terror, that's really good. Yellow, it's the exact same thing. Yellow, the treadmill of cognitive overload, riding up your reach to the yellow state, a state of alertness and mental exertion where your mind and body experience a moderate level of stress. And then, of course, the red state, acute stress response and full alertness.
Ooh, that's where I was the other day.
And then if you're really bad, you can be purple.
Purple is full on panic attack, emergency freeze, and immobility. That's happened to me once or twice in my life. I think I have
a purple. I'm purple twice a week. I mean, I am purple. I am insane. This is why I'm on Wellbutrin, because I literally am crazy. Imagine the purple state as the emergency stop button on the elevator. It's hitting pause when you sense extreme danger, making your body freeze, essentially becoming immobile. The threat or level of danger increases significantly. Your body switches to a defensive mode. You could pass out. Mm-hmm. Your heart slows. You can't move. Blah, blah, blah. So this is like a true like panic attack.
And the idea is like there's like the fight, flight, or freeze thing. This idea, I guess, is like only the freeze one, but I think there are different ways to show to have this type of response. Anyway, you're the way that this works is basically you just kind of like make a map. You like find a quiet moment, you activate your stress, you activate your states. So you try to recall past experience or situation that brings to you the alertness elevator state. So you could be blue, green, yellow, or red, but don't do purple because that's too dangerous. You're playing with fire and like you don't want to send yourself into like a state of shock by thinking about a time you were stressed out.
Wouldn't you all, I don't get this. Don't you all, if you're trying to do this, don't you always want to visualize the blue state? Like, why are you visualizing?
No,
the other
because
ones?
You need to have like an understanding of like what caused it, like how you know what I mean. It's like you need to like, you need to face your like fear, basically.
I'll tell you and why then, I got into my red state the other day.
What happened?
I got home from tennis and I opened a letter from HealthNet. And they because I had to switch insurances because the premiums went anyway. It's boring. I had to go to like a lower level of insurance.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to keep my doctor's, and the health insurance card had this like random doctor as my PCP.
Oh my god.
Like, so that brought me immediately to a red, and then but I called HealthNet, and this lovely lady took my call, and I think I have it fixed, and that brought me back to my regular yellow state.
Yellow. Yeah. I mean, the millennials just are yellow.
There's blue is like, I mean,
no
I
one's
you know
blue. No one's green.
No, what I don't even understand what like yellow I get. Blue, it's like if I'm meditating, I guess I could get there.
Blue
for
is like a fantasy. Like
blue is not real.
Don't
life.
Even try for blue.
Yeah. So wait, green is like that's what like normal people feel like.
Yeah.
It's your flow state.
Green is like
okay.
You should always kind of be green. If the you're state- always blue, you're fucked up. You're not really living your life. If you're always everything else, you're stressed out. If you're green, you're like alert, awake, working, focusing, functioning, but you're not like having a panic attack. But I am usually my baseline is one step above green.
Yeah, my baseline is yellow. Green is nice. I have been. It's not like I've never been to green. It's great. It's green. Being in green is fantastic. It just doesn't last.
I do think I have a green moment every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I'm like working or something, I'm green.
I was thinking when I'm on the tennis court, I'm green.
Yeah. But when I'm like commuting, I'm yellow if I'm a day. I'm yellow or red.
Yeah, yellow. Riding up, you reach the yellow state, a state of alertness and mental exertion where your mind and your body experience a moderate level of stress. This state is characterized by a heightened mental load that feels like your mind is on a nonstop treadmill. It's a state of cognitive overload where your thoughts may race, often consumed by worry, self-criticism, or feelings of shame. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell.
Okay.
You live in hell.
Wow. So this dentist really knows what's going on.
I mean, this dentist really understands me.
I do. I mean, I've said this for 2 weeks now because Gwyneth talked about this book last week as well, but I'm curious to buy this book, but I'm a little apprehensive just because she's not a neurologist and she is a dentist, and that gives me pause.
I mean, as it should.
And she has like 600,000 Instagram followers. And
this is obviously made up.
That's and it's made good. Up.
But, you know, it's interesting to think about. It's nice to just know you're not alone.
Yeah. I followed the woman today, this morning, and the latest post is she's saying, like, you might be like me if, I guess she's like a little OCD and she clips all of her tags off of her clothes, which that's not something I really relate to. But I was like, oh, I understand the impulse behind it. But, I think it's mostly women that follow her, and it's like it is like that very like, oh, I have chronic Lyme, I have long COVID. It's like that brand of person.
I think you might be right.
Which, hey, I think I'm I'm in that category, unfortunately, now.
I know I'm in it. I do have long COVID, I think. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oof. All right. Well, that's that was my best too. It just okay. I never related to something as much as reading that description of yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, much like ex Mr. Paltrow himself, Gwyneth Chris Martin, with their beautiful song Yellow.
Yeah, it was all yellow.
It was all yellow.
It really was. It really was.
All right, what's your worst?
My worst was the thing I sent you on Instagram.
Oh God, what even? That was so scary and weird.
You saw why I sent it to you, right?
I saw it was like a weird baby crying.
Okay. You know, okay. I got a targeted ad for some reason for like a baby bassinet.
Yeah.
It was like some sort of like tech bassinet, and it's called a Snoo. And it's like you put the baby in it and it like rocks to sleep or whatever. And at the end of the ad was a lease.
Oh my God. I didn't even see that.
Elise was in it, but she's just at the very end standing over a crib smiling. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, am I insane? Am I delusional? So I watched it again and it was her. And then I was like, it can't be her. It just, this is enough. This is like a cradle crib model with short brown hair. It cannot be. I Googled Snoo Elise. First thing that comes up, Elise doing a testimonial on YouTube, a YouTube video about how much she loves the Snoo. And I was like, what the fuck is this? What is she doing? Is she like the spokesperson for this? Was she just like volunteering? Does she really just like it so much that she wanted to?
She doesn't even have little, her kids are older. She doesn't.
It's old. It's from when her kids were little. But I think they're still using it because now she's famous.
I just looked at it. Yeah, it's about a half a second at the very end. Just a it's like glimpse of Elise.
Yeah,
that's so like, funny. I didn't catch it.
She's there for 1 second.
It must be her friend's company. And they were like, can you be in the little ad for us?
It just like blew. It was just like, I was like, what is happening? Like, why am I getting this? Why did I get this and why is Elise in it? Like, what is happening?
I cannot believe that you caught that. If I was scrolling and I saw, I would not have even noticed that.
It was just like, you know, when you get like an ad and you're just like zoning out watching it and you're like, don't know why.
Yeah.
And then I was just sort of like watched it the whole way through. And then all of a sudden I was like, it's Elise. And then she was gone. And then the whole thing goes away.
It's like, that is so, I mean, it has to be, it's, yeah, one of her weird friends. Or, I mean, maybe she was just a satisfied customer. You're not keeping up with her podcast, are you?
Did she write her book about the 7 deadly sins for women?
Oh, yeah, no, that's been out for like a year.
Oh, okay.
And she has, I mean, I follow her on Instagram, so I'll see her like, I mean, she does these like front facing videos where her face is like extremely close to the camera.
Mm.
And I'll listen. I mean, she's the same. She's like, she hasn't changed a bit, but I can't, her podcast is, I don't like listening to it. So I don't.
It actually like sounds like it's, and I always think it's going to be interesting and then it's really boring.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not a great, interviewer.
Yeah. I think she wants to be interviewed.
She really does.
What was your worst?
My worst was the 3 easy weeknight dinners from a dietitian.
Oh yeah. Although one of these is something, the thing I would try. And I think it's going to be the thing that you hate the most.
Well, so the thing that like, it actually, it sounded pretty good. And I clicked on the recipe. And then I was like, what the fuck is this? Is the cast iron veggie cake with sun-dried tomato cashew cream.
That was the thing I would try. But in fairness to me, I did not actually read the recipe. I was just like, that's probably good.
Oh, yeah. So like, I was like, oh, easy weeknight recipes. I need to stop. I do think like always cooking out of the New York Times and Bon Appetit is like, it's, everything is too flavorful. Rich. Everything is too rich. I need to simplify. I need to go to Moosewood. I need to just like eat, like follow your heart, like sprouts. And so I was like, okay, this is the dietitian. It's easy. It's weeknight. So much in the tradition of Goop recipes, this is, let's see, for the veggie cakes, there are 13 ingredients for the cakes themselves. And then the cashew cream is 6 ingredients. But you have to, I mean, this is like, how is this an easy weeknight dinner? You're soaking the cashews. It says at least 4 hours in the fridge. So I guess if you're going to work in the morning, you just have to be like, oh, I got to remember to soak my cashews. Maybe that becomes a habit. Maybe.
Yes, it does. When I was briefly vegan and I had this cookbook called Issa Does It.
Okay.
By this girl named Issa something. And she's like a vegan girl who's like a chef, whatever. And she was like, had in like her little preamble in the book was like ABS, always be soaking. She was like, you always need to have cashews soaking in your fridge at all. You're going to be vegan. Okay. Like, just always do it so you can make your cashew cream like at the drop of a hat. So I guess these people are always soaking the
cashew. I mean, that's like me and my sprouts, even though this, I was out of town. I really, there are no sprouts soaking in my house right now. Just FYI. It's okay. I'll get back to it. You're
still special and like you're still you.
Still me, but I need to do these cashews too. Oh God, Issa. This is a white woman named Issa.
Wait, what did you? Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
I think of Issa Rae, and I think of Issa as a Nigerian name.
Issa Rae.
I just assumed Issa was black, and then when I see a white woman named Issa, her name is. You know what her full name is?
This is. It's great. Like Moskowitz or something.
Issa Chandra Moskowitz. her name really is Issa, so I guess it is.
It's ISA. I think it's maybe short for something.
Isabel, maybe. Was the book good?
Yes. She has a recipe for like this mango cashew fried rice that I think I made like every single day when I was but that's not the one I had. I think the one I had was called Issa Does It. I think.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at now. It looks good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Post-Punk Kitchen. That's what she was.
I do have, what's the one that got in? Oh, that they got canceled? Thug Kitchen.
Yeah, that was bad. But actually, I think they're still around.
They changed their name to something else. And I have my mom, I don't know how she heard about it, why she bought it for me. But she like bought me that book, and it actually, I made a couple things. It's not bad, but it is one of those. Yeah. Always like you have to constantly have cashew cream on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I like her. And I thought that she was, I thought that her cookbook was pretty good.
All right, God, what if I just... See, the thing is, I would love to be vegan, but I love seafood and fish, and that's healthy. So it's like, if you're like pescatarian, but you don't do dairy or eggs, you're pesca-vegan. What's that? That's what I want to be.
Wait.
Pesca-vegan?
I don't think that's a thing.
It is now. Because I was like, because a pescatarian is not, because then I'll just fucking buy, you know, if I'm pescatarian, I'm just going to buy like baked brie and like have just giant omelets, and it's not good. I need to be plant-based, but then with like a lovely piece of halibut on top. I guess maybe I should write that book. Fish are plants. That's my book.
I looked it up. Issa actually in Arabic means Jesus.
Oh, so maybe she's
Hebrew, but in Hebrew it means God is my oath.
Okay. Well, that's another thing that they can all fight over.
So I guess she's the Hebrew one.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right. What was your craziest or your saddest?
Saddest, RIP, say goodbye to quite a few menu items at Goop Kitchen.
Oh, shit.
I got an email that was like, it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, I got that. I forgot to read it.
I thought sure they were going out of business.
I thought so too, yeah.
But no, we're saying goodbye to the miso salmon salad, the matcha chia pudding, the mushroom carnitas bowl, the winter, I can't remember in writing. I think it says classic pizza, which, okay, fair, a winter item should be going. The pizza Bianca. And the barbecue chipotle bowl. All leaving.
Pizza Bianca? That was a good one.
Well, you better get it while you can because it's leaving soon.
I got it once 3 years ago, and so I guess I'm not.
I remember that day.
It was good.
I don't even remember it being that good. The food there was bad. The pizza was terrible. The Serafina part was really bad. I will without a doubt be ordering Goop Kitchen when I'm in Los Angeles. That is, you can bet on that.
Oh, nice.
I got to see what's going on with them now. Hopefully they'll have new menu items. I'll be able to try them and tell everyone what I think.
I mean, I've said this before. If there was one closer to me, I would order it occasionally. It's just like, it's just not, I don't understand why they don't. They have one in fucking Orange County. They have one in like Redondo Beach. Why do they not have one on the east side? I don't get it.
It's because they have them. It's for people in offices.
Yeah.
People, nobody works there. Like there's no offices there. People live there and then they drive to Santa Monica for work.
Totally. Ugh. Maybe they're turning I think they're turning that abandoned warehouse behind my house into condos finally. So maybe once the neighborhood gets totally gentrified, then they'll put a Goop Kitchen in there.
Maybe.
One can hope. Not that I would.
What would you... Often. What's your saddest or craziest?
Oh my God. So this was on the Tuesday newsletter. It wasn't even the article that Goop published. It was this influencer / skincare entrepreneur. You know, it's a...
Okay.
Her name's Lauren Scruggs Kennedy. And she has this skincare or whatever. But it said, after Lauren Scruggs Kennedy lost her left eye and hand in a 2011 accident, she changed her life. And then blah, blah, blah. So I was just like, oh my God, what is this accident? Scary. So I Googled. So this is a woman. She was, I guess, 22 at the time. No. She was a budding. She was like a model and like a fashion editor or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was in Texas. Mm-hmm. And she was in a small plane with...
No, Brian, I can't.
Oh, sorry, but this is a small plane. This is nothing that would happen because this is really crazy.
Okay.
Her friend was the pilot and she got out of the plane and the friend, I think they must have been wasted. I mean, allegedly, I don't know. I don't want to get sued for defamation. Mm-hmm. He did not turn the propeller off. She got off the plane and it was dark. And she just walked right into the propeller. And she was all cut up, lying on her stomach, bleeding to death. Her eye, I guess, just got taken out. And then they had to amputate her hand and she had brain damage. But happy ending. She's better. She's beautiful. She married. She
has a skincare line.
She has a skincare line. She has two lovely kids. She married one of those E! News reporter guys.
I mean, like a dream come true.
A dream come true. So it all worked out.
It all worked out. Okay. Well, at least it has a happy ending. Whew, that is a terrible story. Oh my God.
So no, I mean, no matter how shitty your flight is going to be, they're always going to turn the propeller off before they let people off the plane.
They'll turn off the propeller and I could always marry a guy for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said, the family didn't sue him. It's so weird. Because she says, even in this Goop article, she says, it's just an accident that happened and there's no one to blame. And it's like, well, no, you blame your friend who's a registered pilot who literally didn't turn off the propeller when you fucking got out of the plane. Like, that's who to blame. Like, it's crazy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something is fishy. I think that they were.
Well, maybe it's just like she forgave him.
Well, then she should say, I forgive him, and there's no one to blame because
there is someone to blame.
There's someone to blame. I don't know. Oh my God. Horrible. Did you hear about Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law that drowned in the pond because the Tesla?
I did not.
Okay. Different story. Just happened recently. Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, Elaine Chao's sister, is this billionaire, whatever, who is on her own ranch driving from one part of the ranch to the other. This is a horrific story too. She, I think, also is wasted. She goes in reverse instead of drive, and she backs up into a pond. She's slowly sinking, but because it's a Tesla, everything is electronic. She can't open the door. Everything's short-circuited. So she calls 911. Her friends are freaking out. It's slow, slow, slow. But 911, because she's on this isolated ranch, they don't come for like a half hour, and the friends have to watch her basically like drown and sink to death.
Why couldn't the friends couldn't get in?
I don't think they could get, because it's like a muddy pond, and then the doors probably weren't opening. I don't know exactly. But she frantically called 911. Then the friends called 911. Meanwhile, her son is like sleeping just in the bedroom. Sorry, not to bring you down, but that story freaked
like
me out too.
I would have gotten like a hammer and broken the windshield. But I guess obviously.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who knows? You'd think, yeah, someone could. I mean, I don't know.
But wow, terrifying and sad story.
So, a couple of sad stories. Luckily,
those Teslas freak me out.
It's
just always getting weird in them.
I got in an Uber Tesla a few weeks ago, and I couldn't even figure out how to fucking get in the car. I was like pushing the thing. The driver had to open the door for me. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like all Teslas now.
Yeah, because Tesla, the guy told me that like Tesla basically lets Uber drivers like just rent them for really cheap if they're driving a certain number of hours a day. So he says he makes more money, and he doesn't have to use like his personal car to drive Uber. I don't know.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice, because then it's like you don't have to use your own car.
Yeah, you just pick it up in the morning. Car around. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. My try, as I said, it's still the cast iron veggie cake. I think I can handle the cream meat because Issa told me how to do the cashew cream. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I just maybe need to do it once and then I'll get over. And to have cashew cream just lying around does sound like a dream.
It just sounds like the kind of person that I want to be. But I think one time I like left them in the fridge for too long and they got like moldy and it disgusted me. And then I just like never did it again. Cause if you don't make that cashew cream, then those waterlogged cashews do become, you know, infected with bacteria or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. My try is, I guess I forgot to copy and paste it cause it's not in my notes. So I'm going to say I will also try that cashew cream. And then I'm going to do one more recipe and it will be, well, I'm going to do, what I literally will try is more Moosewood Kitchen recipes. There's like an almond carrot soup. They have this broccoli cheddar mushroom casserole. There's like a bunch of really cool stuff, which I don't think I've made them before. But then the Goop recipe, the other ones look gross actually. Warm nutty superfood salad. So yeah, I think I'll just stick with that one.
Yeah. It's nice. It reminds me of 2013, but in a good way.
I liked 2013 was a fun year. I just moved to LA.
I'm smelling my lavender candle to calm myself down.
Oh, I need to get a night blooming jasmine diptyque. I think that will actually save
the night blooming jasmine, but it doesn't calm me down. It makes me excited.
Oh, really?
I'm like, ooh, like it makes me feel like, oh, the night is coming and yeah, it's going to be fun, even if nothing is going to happen. It just reminds me of being like in my 20s and like getting ready to like go out.
Oh, interesting. See, that would be for me the smell of vodka Red Bull.
Yeah.
Is like the smell of we're about to go out.
Yeah.
And I don't need to smell that anymore.
No. This is wild Brooklyn lavender from GS. Oh,
that sounds nice.
What I'm smelling. Maybe I'll bring like one on the plane with me because I have the ones for your car.
Oh, yeah.
just so I can smell it, so I can like calm the fuck down.
I love those on the Goop. They would sell, they were like fancy little wet nap wipes, like disinfectant wipes for the plane that would smell like, I forget what brand it was. It smelled like lavender. They were great.
I mean, it's almost certainly going to be the shittiest seat in the world. This flight is insane. Okay. I don't want to get into it. The thing I would buy, the sauna blanket. I don't know how much it costs. It's definitely out of my price range. It's extremely expensive, but I do want a sauna blanket and to get under it and to sweat in it.
That was exactly my buy as well. It was a great article. How much can a beauty editor accomplish inside a sauna blanket? A lot. She got it after she was doing yoga. She curls up into it. She can listen to podcasts. She can read a book. So my friend just got one. I don't know if he got this brand, $600. This one was $600. He loves it, but I was like, I can't afford it.
$600 is less than I was thinking.
Oh, $699. So $700.
Still, I thought that this was like minimum $2,000.
I mean, if you could afterpay it, it's like doable.
I'm not gonna afterpay a fucking sauna blanket. I mean, I have to.
Yeah, you say can no wait. Sauna. Yep, you can afterpay it. I can't, but I can't. I can't. I mean, I can't. I shouldn't have even bought. I bought a $30 AI, little bouncy ball for my cats. It's like a robot, and it simulates the movement of like prey, of like mice and stuff. They're not into it.
No,
it's another waste of money.
Sad.
All right, higher dose. God, $699.
Oh, that's actually not so bad.
That sounds really nice. Fuck.
$100 a month for 7 months.
But Afterpay is so annoying because you have to do, it's four payments, but it's twice a month. If they could just do it once a month for 4 months, why don't they do that? That would make everything so much easier.
No idea.
It's so mean of them.
They're cruel.
Because then it's like, oh, you're just paying basically, because if you're paying on credit card, then it's just half and half. It's not like even that big good of a deal. Ugh. Get fucking Sleepy Joe to change that.
Come on, Sleepy Joe. Fix Afterpay.
Okay. Either fix Afterpay or every credit card company needs to have just break it up into no interest for 4 months and just automatically break everything up. You're not actually going to be saving any money, but you'll feel better.
Well, it's an interest-free loan.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
we did it.
We solved America's problems yet again on this podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Let us know on Instagram what things you use to self-soothe.
How do you calm the fuck down? What kind of candles are you smelling?
Candles, pharmaceuticals, any other like meditation habits, like whatever it is, you know, we'll listen to you. And then the other thing we want you to do is to go on a website called patreon.com. Yeah. And go to Goop Yourself, and then you just click a button, and then you pay $5 a month, and you get double the episodes. So you can listen to us.
And the other ones are better.
The other ones are better, actually. You can listen to us every week instead of every other week, and then you also have like I don't know, probably 75 at least episodes that you haven't listened to that you can listen to. So it's a good deal.
I mean, like I would do it if I listened to this podcast. I would do it.
Yeah, I occasionally listen to the whole episode. And then most
I
can't, time,
but when I do, I'm always like, this is pretty good.
This is pretty good, yeah. I enjoy it. Okay. All right, guys.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.